The Truth News Network. Politics, race, news, race, lifestyle, race, protecting your own, how dare you. And the lies keep coming at you from all sides. Well, you're not alone, and your teller of truth to sort it all out is Dan Newman.
My goodness, there are so many things that we need to sort out, find the truth in. We're going to make an attempt today. We'll find some, and we'll share those with you, of course. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Newman at Truth News Network. Man, I hope you had a great July 4th weekend. I hope you got caught up on everything and that you enjoyed some family time. That's what holidays are all about. I know if you did, that you protected yourself and those around you with social distancing, wearing a mask when it was appropriate, and that you made it through okay. But now what? Well, we've got a week, a huge week ahead of all of us. If you're like me, you probably have to catch up from missing that work day on Friday, plus doing all of the normal weekly things. Before we get started, let me just tell you this. We have an important, a really important show today on TNN Live from 9 to 11 Central Time. We broadcast live right here at Truth News Network, and it's a talk show. It's where we talk about topics of the day, topics of this last weekend and the previous week, and we get you all caught up in detail. And additionally, you can weigh in at any time during TNN Live. How do you do that? Well, you just pick up the phone and call us toll-free, 1-866-37-TRUTH. You might want to write that down. And the numbers, all numbers are 1-866-378-7884. A big show today, and you certainly don't want to miss it. Well, you know what? What we did through the weekend, besides doing all of those July 4th things that we could, which included taking care of a couple of small puppies that can't stand the sounds of fireworks, and of course, this is the time of the year where fireworks are everywhere, right? Well, we did some thinking through all that's going on around us, and we watched some more of it, and my goodness, the weekend turned into a war zone across the nation. We'll be talking about that in detail and get you all caught up on the numbers of people that were shot and people that were killed over the weekend at the hands of other Americans. And that's a tragedy. But that's not just the thing that's going on. Yeah, it's a big thing when somebody loses their life, especially at the hands of someone else, but especially in this environment, this racially charged environment that we're living through right now. And you know what? We, for months, I think, at least 2 months, maybe three, we've all been thinking about and calling this a revolution of sorts. It's where socialism, groups that want to tear this government apart, like Black Lives Matters and Antifa, are doing just that on a localized basis. But maybe, just maybe, folks, there is a master plan, and that it's not a revolution. So follow this through me, and don't scream at me until we get through. Then feel free to call, and let's talk about it. It's not a revolution. It's the exact opposite. America, I don't think, is in the middle of a revolution. What we're in is a reactionary, and it's called a pooch, P-U-T-S-C-H. A pooch is a coordinated attempt to overthrow a government. It started 4 years ago, immediately upon a group of people understanding that their long, quiet, and deadly push to the left politically had been railroaded by, you know, a conservative billionaire from Queens. So what people are they? The sort of people who had acquired position and influence as a result of globalization, who suddenly found themselves out of power for the first time in decades. They watched in horror as voters across the world, not just here, the ones over the pond chose Brexit in the UK, Donald Trump and other populist and conservative nationalist candidates here in the United States. Those four sentences that you just heard explain the storm of unrest battering American citizens and cities from coast to coast, and making waves in Europe as well. We don't see or hear a lot about that, but it's going on simultaneously. The storm's ferocity the looting, the mobs, the mass lawlessness, the deranged slogan like hashtag defund police terrifies ordinary Americans. And come on, be honest. You've been afraid. I know you have, because we don't understand. Many conservatives believe we're facing a revolution targeting the very foundations of American order. It sure looks that way, doesn't it? But when national institutions bow or kneel to the street fighters' demands, it should tell you something. What it should tell you is there's something else going on. What I'm about to tell you may blow your mind. I don't think we're dealing with a Marxist revolt. Even if some within this uproar scream hard leftist rhetoric, what's playing out is a counter-revolution of the entrenched elitist class over there in Britain and here in the United States. Elitist class like academia, media, large corporations, experts, and you know how I feel about experts, big tech, lashing out against the nationalist revolution launched in 2016 when Trump shot their balloon out of the sky. The supposed insurgents and the elites are marching in the streets together and taking the knee together. They're not seeking some new arrangement. But what they want, folks, is they want to go back. They want to go back to before Donald Trump, to the status quo then, which was working out very well for them. Of course, it was working out less well for the working class of all races in this country, who bore the brunt of their preferred policy mix of open borders, free trade without limits, aggressive cultural liberalism that destroyed tradition and community, a global governance that purposely handicapped democracy and politics. Now, you may want to pause and think that through. If you're listening, go ahead, pause, think it through, and then come back. I'll wait on you. Conservatives generally don't tend to pay a lot of attention to class analysis, but in this case, it does help to explain what we're living through right now, and it helps to shine a light of the truth of social movements that disguise themselves and can get mistaken for revolutionary leftism. We at Truth News Network have called it that way for a long time. Why? Because we couldn't find any other purpose for all that is happening than that. Does anyone seriously believe the American establishment, comprised of people like Walmart, Facebook, YouTube, Amazon, Netflix, the trustees of Ivy League universities, the major sports leagues, even Brooks Brothers, for God's sake, would sign on to a movement that genuinely threatened its material interest? Those big companies, they don't want any part of that. They don't want a revolution. And yet these and many other companies and institutions are falling all over themselves to show their solidarity with the quote-unquote uprising, some going so far as to donate millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter and to Antifa. Before my conservative friends out there go postal, think this through with me. Over the past 4 years, every trick in the book has been used to end the nightmare of national conservatism and populism. The methods deployed by the elite reflect its tendencies and preferences as a class. None of the methods they have exercised to bring down this president were unexpected. Don't forget this. I even predicted all this craziness in politics, including his impeachment, was going to happen as far back as 2017. Just think of recent happenings. Though few of us in the U.S. think about what's happening similarly at the same time, as in the United States, it happened at the same time as Brexit happened in the UK. A majority of Brits voted to leave the EU and then had to spend 3 years fighting a political establishment that pulled all of its resources to Brexit from happening. It failed. Does that kind of parallel what's happening here right now? Sure it does. In America, the liberal establishment tried harder and they failed harder. But they learned more. From the minute Trump won the presidential election, Democrats, a significant group from our intelligence community, and their media minions set out to undo the result of the 2016 send home of Hillary Clinton. The big bullets in their gun were the collusion probe and an impeachment push that, I got to be honest with you, is probably the single biggest insult ever to the intelligence of the American people. There were also countless smaller attempts to unseat Trump and destroy all of his followers. Remember this. Don't forget it. He says this over and over and over again. They're not coming after me. They're coming after you. So far, Trump has survived. Now comes the new wave of rioters and mad anarchists, which many corporates and Democratic governors and mayors have actively encouraged, even as they continue to bar kids from public parks and families from holding outdoor funerals, going to church, going to work, always citing COVID-19 risk. But wait a minute. Riots and statue toppling, such things aren't pleasant to establishment figures, are they? The logic becomes obvious when you see it as a form of class struggle. For all of its fury, the storm of the riots ends. It's got to. Their demands for ongoing racial fairness, equality, and attacks on law enforcement, it got to end. There's little in their cries about labor injustice, about wages and job security. Yeah, they'll talk a little bit. Black Lives Matter does, about a $15 an hour minimum wage. But they're not rioting over those things. Just demands for representation, whatever that is, or diversity on corporate boards and university curricula, etc. And of course, the firing of those who say the wrong or awkward things in the digital public square, in workplaces or in classrooms, you know, cancel culture. The goal is not to repair any economic injustices. You remember those protests and demands from the passive, massive inequalities in wealth, health, and job security? The goal is 180 degrees opposite of that. To compromise, to defer, to smooth over, to hide these substantive disagreements, and instead have battles on methods of operations and social rule and racial changes. In other words, they're really not screaming to blow it up. They're screaming, hoping to alter it. Which social class most excels at politically correct treatment of everybody else? That would be the professional managerial class. You know, the laptop class. Its children learn the communication and speech lingo for discussing issues of race, gender, and sexuality from an early age. They're expected to have mastered it by the time they take their entry-level jobs. It's a skill that private schools are positively already teaching. Working-class people, meanwhile, are most likely to struggle with all this language. Even when they mean well, they don't always get it right. Not because the rules constantly shift with the multiple and dramatic changes in race theory and LGBTQ desires and demands. By protecting the requirements to speak and think correctly and raising the stakes for failures, the new liberal class, what's the proper term for that? Neoliberalism? Let's just call it the new liberal class. They've now created a new mechanism for staying at the top and keeping the peasants, you know, Americans working class, down, especially those who voted the wrong way in 2016. So whatever you do, don't call it a leftist revolution. With the flags, the protests, the kneeling, and the new language, it's the opposite of war or revolution. The outcome, it's obviously certainly unknown, but the class war is thriving and gaining strength every day. The best example I can think of this counter-revolution, Colin Kaepernick. The former NFL star and now activist Colin Kaepernick, yeah, he signed a one-year deal to play again in the NFL with Carolina. He marked his 4th of July, sharing a video of actor James Earl Jones reciting Frederick Douglass's historical speech, "What to the Slave is the 4th of July," with Kaepernick calling the holiday a, quote, "celebration of white supremacy. The video shows images of the Declaration of Independence, slaves, Ku Klux Klan members, lynchings, and police brutality, as Jones' voice narrates in the background. "Fellow citizens, pardon me," he says. "Allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Or the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us?" Kaepernick captioned the video with strong condemnation of racism and a call for, quote, liberation for all in the future. Black people have been dehumanized, brutalized, criminalized, and terrorized by America for centuries, and are expected to join your commemoration of independence while you enslaved our ancestors, he wrote. "We reject your celebration of white supremacy and look forward to liberation for all." Kaepernick's demonization of tens of millions of Americans, while many citizens contemplate today's Independence Day in the context of nationwide protest against police brutality and racism. Lawmakers have faced growing pressure in recent weeks to pass comprehensive police reform, as well as other policies to protect black Americans in the wake of the deaths of George Floyd and others who have been killed in police custody. Many minority members of the nation look at Kaepernick as a soldier for the cause of fixing the nation, a counter-revolution. Here's the hard part, folks, being patient. How many times have you had to tell yourself the last few months, "I wish I knew exactly what was going on"? If you said that, or even thought that, you're one in about 200 million here and probably half that over in Europe. To grasp an understanding of sorts that will probably answer your questions, consider this. First, the political class in this nation evolved into the beast we find ourselves feeding so that we can survive in the 60s. It's that old, folks. No one stepped out and declared, "Here's what we're going to do." It was found to be simpler to just quietly take over Washington, using policies and regulations to grab as much power as possible, without making it obvious it was really happening. Serving in the U.S. government had been for almost two centuries an honorable vocation that paid less than similar jobs paid in the private sector. But that was okay, you know, the greater good and all that. But then with a booming economy that saw cost of living increases skyrocket in the Potomac Valley, D.C. political elitists began the process to even the scales for politicians, personally. A process of increasing congressional income and also compensation for political bureaucrats began a slow increase that is through the roof today. In doing so, we suddenly see an economic environment that not only has those in office paid equivalent to their private sector counterparts, but are paid significantly more than those in the private sector. And why not? Congress determines not only their base pay, but personal, business, and office expenses, and has created a profitable retirement opportunity for every member of Congress. It's called power. They make the rules for everything in government, period. Wouldn't you, if in the same scenario you lived and could legally increase your total compensation, wouldn't you do so? The Congress makes all the rules, all the laws, all the regulations that control every sector of living in the United States. They, under almost permanent liberal leadership, have done just that year after year after year after year. And when those bills come up, they go and dare their party members to vote against these increases. Campaign finance has only increased the cost of getting elected. It created political action committees, PACs, that though strapped with regulations can legally raise tens of millions of dollars for candidates. Super political action committees, or super PACs, have less restraint on contributions and therefore take campaign donations to a new level. None of the above has ever been mentioned by the liberal leaders of this counter-revolution. They certainly do not want to upset the behemoth of the U.S. government that has so successfully granted the elect in that group of elitists virtually unfettered power and legally unlimited collection of money. Why would they support the destruction of that multi-billion dollar piggy bank? The answer? They don't support it. This entire travesty that dominates every newscast, every written or broadcast news story that centers on any part of this process is ancillary to their objective. Destroy the populism and nationalism of Trump here, Brexit in the UK, and dramatic civil unrest in Hong Kong to protect the power of the liberal left elitist that remains while doing all that's necessary to re-implement what of it was torn away by Donald Trump. Does that mean to not be concerned or to not be vocal about the evil we're staring at? Absolutely not. It simply states they don't want to lose the gravy train that has fed them so long just because Donald Trump messed it up. They want it just the way it was before he took it from them in 2016. I hope this made you think, folks. It's one of those things that I've thought through for a long, long time and watched, and all the pieces seem to fit this last weekend and are fitting better every day. Stay close. Big week ahead. It's just Monday. We're just getting going, folks. Have a great day today. Hope to see and hear you at TNN Live at 9 o'clock Central right here. You just go to the homepage, and in the top right side, probably 2 or 3 inches down, if you're on a computer, you'll see a horizontal blue banner that says, "To listen live, click here." You'll click on that at 9 o'clock. It'll take you right to our live show at truthnewsnet.org. If you don't join us then, we'll surely see and hear you tomorrow morning right here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. Have a great day, folks.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world. Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.